you for standing by, and welcome to the Tivoli Talk Maximal Asset Management Scheduler 7.1.1 conference call. All participants will be on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. During that time, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star, then 1. Today's call is being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And I would like to turn the call over to your host for today, Mr. Nithya Parameswaran. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Amy. Hello, everyone. I am Nithya Parameswaran, design architect for Maximal Solutions. I am joined with Brian Downey and Dave Calvert, also from the design and architect team, and also Vikul Banta from the product management team. A couple of notes regarding this call. For business partners who haven't or who are having problems downloading this PowerPoint, please send an email to Sarah Molnar, and she'll be able to send you the PowerPoint. Her address is S, as in Sam, M as in Mary, O-L-N-A-R, at us.ibm.com. I'll repeat, it is S-M-O-L-N-A-R at us.ibm.com. Second point is we forgot to add page numbers to the slides, so we'll make sure that as we transition from one slide to another, we'll make an effort to state the titles so that you are able to follow that. We'll move on to the second slide. So the agenda for this call is we'll be talking about like why we did Maximal Scheduler, so what drove us to create this particular solution. We'll be talking about our strategy and our vision for this particular product. We'll be talking about positioning of this product to customers and to the EAM market. Then Dave Calvert will take us through the key features of Scheduler 7.1.1. And then Vikul Banta would be taking us through the packaging and pricing of the Scheduler product. And finally, we'll open the floor for questions. And so the third slide, which is the disclaimer. Since we are going to talk about a product that hasn't been released, so please take a moment to look at the disclaimer. All right, next slide, slide 4. So what drove us to this particular product, Scheduler? When we polled a lot of customers and other business partners, one common thread that we saw was that maintenance planners and schedulers would like to see work orders more in a graphical fashion. Now, traditionally, work orders have been, we can view work orders in the work order application, and it's one work order at a time. But planners and schedulers, what they would like to see is like a group of work orders that they are responsible for, so they can have a one consolidated view of those work orders. And based on the work schedule, based on resource availability, they would like to now schedule the work back and forth and publish the schedule to the mechanics. When we polled these customers, they said they do use adapters currently, like MS Project Adapter or Primavera Adapter, to view those work orders in a graphical fashion. We also saw like some few customers using Excel to do this basic scheduling. Though these tools are good for project management capabilities, what we felt is that for a basic scheduling, these products are an overkill. It's too elaborated, it's too complex, and it needs extra work to integrate. However, if the objective is for project management, then yes, so these are all good. Because like Primavera has more features like budgeting and other project tracking features. And we also found that customers would like to forecast upcoming preventive maintenance work. What they felt is like getting to know like what is going to be coming in the future would help them plan better on resources. For example, in aviation industry, like 3 years down the line, if I'm going to be not having enough hangar space, then knowing that well in advance helps them to maybe even build a new hangar so that when the demand comes 3 years down the line, they have enough resources to do their maintenance. So So they felt a big need for a PM forecasting capability. And finally, like, they wanted the ability to see both short-term work as well as these long-term PM forecasts all in one consolidated fashion, along with the resource requirements. So this gives an overall picture of what is my work today, what is my work coming in the future, along with all the craft resources. So this was these were the main points that kind of customers gave us, like why there should be a graphical tool within Maximo that would help them better in their planning their maintenance work. So next slide, which is the solution. So what we did is we had we released Maximo Asset Management Scheduler 7.1 to address the graphical capability. So this was released in August of last year, and the PM forecasting capability is now in 7.1.1, which will be released in this quarter. Just to take you some next slide, please. This is the background. The steps that we adopted, and it started in 2007 and 2008 when we actually validated these pain points from customers, sales, and service, and business partners. And in 2008, what we did is we created a proof of concept, just a basic Gantt scheduling tool, which embedded inside the Maximo framework. And we took it to various customers and showed them, like, what do you think? Like, do you think this is something that would, is this what you're looking for? And would this help your planners and schedulers to better manage the work? And we got pretty very good response from these customers. And some customers are listed here, like Walt Disney, City of Lakeland, Mosaic, British Petroleum. So after seeing this overwhelming response, what we did is we started our development work in 2009. And by August of 2009, we had the first release of scheduler. And later part of 2009, we were pretty close to completing the PM forecasting piece of scheduler 7.1.1. And we took that code and then once again validated with a few customers like General Mills, Createch Group, and City of Cambridge, see how whether we are on the right track with PM forecasting. And based on the response, now we are almost close to releasing Scheduler 7.1.1, and that will be the first quarter of 2010. Next slide. Our vision with Scheduler is it's an alternate solution. To users who rely on MS Projects and Primavera for basic scheduling. So we don't want to replace MS Projects or Primavera, but it is an alternate solution if the primary objective is for basic scheduling requirement. Next slide. So our strategy, as I said before, it's not to replace MS Projects or Primavera. And we will continue to develop those adapters and integration aspects of those two products. So that's going to be in conjunction with Scheduler, and we'll keep improving Scheduler down the line as well as the adapters. The next slide, the planning horizon. If you look at this chart, there are two sections. On the left-hand side is the scheduling and the planning side, where you want to plan work orders that are the next 1 or 2 weeks, where you have a lot of details about what needs to be accomplished, like the steps for doing the work, the resources are all identified, the materials are all identified, the tools are all identified. So you have more details on that work for the next 1 or 2 weeks. And now there you do the scheduling, where you would want to see whether you have enough resources to do the job, and prioritize the work, and then maybe reschedule some of the job, and then pull forward some of the other high-priority work orders. So this capability and this requirement was met in Scheduler 7.1. And for long-term strategic planning is where we are introducing the PM forecasting capability as part of 7.1.1, where now the PM application will have the capability to do PM forecasting, forecast the dates without actually creating the work orders. And those dates can be viewed in the scheduler application along with regular work orders. So now what you will get is a consolidated view of your current work orders as well as the PM forecasting dates all in one view along with the resource requirement. Next slide. So how are we positioning the scheduler product? Now, scheduler product, as we said before, it is for the basic scheduling needs. So where a planner would like to see work orders in a graphical fashion on a Gantt chart along with craft or along with the craft availability, and then determine like what work order has to be performed on what date based on the resource and other considerations. The time scale is pretty elaborate, like you could go like for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month or 2 months. Dave Calvert would be showing some screenshots of the Gantt chart and how we are going to display those work orders of the PM forecast dates. Now, these planning, the Gantt chart is good when you are planning like 1 week in advance or 2 week in advance. But when it comes to that day when the work has to be performed, that's when you know like how many people are actually present on the day. Some might have taken the day off. So the actual availability you get to know on that day. And at that point, we recommend not to use scheduler, but use the assignment manager where you actually assign people to the actual job. With regards to the forecasted dates, the PM application can forecast the dates, and we also have the cron task, or it can also manually, you can create the work orders based on the forecasted dates. So the forecasting just creates the dates, not the work orders. The regular PM work order generation process looks at those dates and creates the actual PM work orders. So it's now a two-step process. Once again, it's an option. You don't need to always forecast. So certain PMs can be forecasted and certain PMs need not be forecasted. One prerequisite here is scheduler has been, it's an add-on, and the customer has to have maximum 7.1.5 or above. So if you are 7.1.5 or even 7.1.6, so then the scheduler would be the would work on the, those two versions. Next slide. What Maximo Management Scheduler is not. Now, it is not a budgeting tool. It is not a project management tool. So we are not competing with Primavera or MS Projects here. And it's not a schedule compliance tool yet. When we showed Scheduler to a lot of customers, another common request now we started getting is schedule compliance. Now, what they would like to see is like, okay, this is my schedule. Now, how am I doing it? Okay, I wanted the work to be done in 3 hours. Now, am I able to complete in 3 hours, or is it being done earlier, or is it getting delayed? And if it's getting delayed, now it's going to have an effect on the other work orders. So they would like to see like how closely they were able to comply with their planned work versus the actual. So it is not. So we are not addressing that particular capability yet. So at this point, I'm going to hand over to Dave Calvert. Dave Calvert will take us through some of the key features of Scheduler 7.1.1. Dave?
Thanks very much, Nithya. Hi, everybody. If you're actually counting, we're on slide 13 now, and it's entitled Maximo Asset Management Scheduler 7.1.1 Features. And as Nithya alluded to, I'm going to take us through a few of the features. I've got a few screenshots in the presentation that talk to the functionality, and you'll get an idea of how we've approached satisfying the use cases and the requirements that Nithya talked about, and some of the design premises or concepts that we embraced in the creation of the product. So this slide basically just runs through a number of the features that are incorporated in the product. It's important to understand that when we talk about PM forecasting, that we understand that it's the generation of a single forecast for a given PM. So a forecast will have a one-to-one relationship with the PM. And in the creation of that forecast, simply using the same criteria that's already been placed or presented or included is part of the PM definition. So if it's a calendar-based PM that has a given frequency, then it's that given frequency and the way in which work orders, PM work orders, would be generated, that is the same logic that's used in extending out the PM forecast dates in a forecast. I'll show you what that looks like in a couple minutes. One of the key elements here is that this PM forecast can have a definable forecast range. So again, you'll see it in a minute, but the user is able to either set up that forecast range in an automated fashion, so it can be maintained automatically via the cron task, or they can define that forecast range in a manual fashion. And I have a screenshot in a moment that will address that very point. And just as PMs respect seasonality, days of the week, and active and inactive seasons, and PM hierarchies and job plan sequences and such, so does the PM forecasting capability. So when a forecast is generated, it looks to all those factors in generating the forecast and embraces them all in the creation of that forecast. Now, we also know that when customers wanted to create a forecast, they also wanted to be able to edit the forecast. So we've provided that capability, but we've embraced a number of business rules around that capability that made sense to us and the customers that we validated the functionality with. So we've given users the ability to say, you know what, I see this date in 6 months that we're going to do this PM on, but that's the date of the company picnic and we're all off. So let's move it by a day. And then we've also provided the ability to either respect that change as a single date change or have that date change ripple through the remainder of the forecast. And I'll elaborate on that in a minute. Nithya also mentioned cron task, and while I'll talk about how we can initiate the creation of a forecast manually, we want you to feel comfortable with the fact that a user may never ever have to do that manually. They can easily set up an instance of the cron task to deal with a subset of the PMs in the database and extend out the forecast in whatever forecast window duration that they'd like. And it doesn't have to be all one forecast window. They could have a 2-year forecast for a certain area of the plant or a certain type of asset or asset group, and have a different forecast duration for other aspects. So we'll talk a bit more about that later. And Nithya also mentioned that the PM forecast is the key aspect by which PM work orders will be generated. If there's no forecast present, then there's no change in the way that PM work orders are generated from the way that they're generated today. If there is a forecast, then the PM work order generation routine will go and respect any of the altered forecast dates in deciding when that next PM is in fact due. So let's zero in a bit on some of the functionality. If you go to slide 14, entitled The Sliding Forecast Window, this is a bit of a graphic that gives you an idea of how the automated side of maintaining this forecast window works. So envision a tube, and in that tube are a series of balls. So these balls might represent, maybe it's a 1-year forecast, and it's a monthly PM, so there's 12 balls in the tube. And as time moves on, the first ball in one end, the nearest end in terms of date, will soon become due. And when it does, it falls out the end as a PM work order. What that does is it leaves a vacancy in the other end, and the cron task that we spoke of will automatically come along and notice that there is a vacancy, and it'll fill that vacancy with the most distant forecast date that's based on the same PM criteria that's included in the PM record. So again, this aspect the customer can define however large or small of a forecast window that they want, and whatever subset of PMs that it is to apply to, and set it off to run on its own. And if they have no changes to the forecast, they can basically forget all about it and simply pull the forecast up in the PM application, and it'll always be updated based on their own criteria and frequency of that cron task being run. Move to slide 15. Just a couple of extra feature elements before I get into some screenshots. One of the driving forces here, as Nithya alluded to, was the idea of being able to look at all of the PM work that's coming up, look at it in the scheduler Gantt view. And we know that customers wanted to be able to not only see when these were going to be due, but also the resources that were going to be required to carry that work out. And they wanted to be able to drag and drop those PM forecast dates to dates that they either knew they wanted to do the work on or knew that the adequate crafts resources were going to be available to carry that work out. And the real kicker here is if you think about it, Scheduler 7.1 provided the ability to look at work orders and tasks in a Gantt view. And as quantum leap as it was for our customer base, it's really only looking at part of the picture, because when you look at the work that's lying out ahead of you that needs to be scheduled, if you're not seeing the PM forecasted work as well, you're only really seeing part of the picture. So being able to add the PM segments for the forecasts that are to be included in that scheduler view was critically important to our users and a key element that's part of the 7.1.1 product. We move to slide 16. I'll start to address some of the functional elements. You'll get an idea of how it appears in the product as well. This slide's entitled Generating a Forecast. And I talked about manual versus cron task in terms of generating or maintaining a forecast. And what you're seeing here on this slide is the dialog box that customers would be presented if they were to manually generate or manually maintain a forecast. If it's the first time that they're generating a forecast, they won't actually have a last forecast date that you see at the top of that screenshot. If a forecast does exist already, then that current forecast date will be there, and it'll be indicating the end of that forecast window. And then if the customer is appending to an existing forecast, then when they enter a forecast until or a number of forecast for days, those will have to be greater than the current duration of the forecast, or else it won't carry out any update. Because we never we only append to existing forecasts. We never delete and overwrite unless the actual delete action is called, and we'll talk about that in a second too. So in this in a typical use of this dialog box, a user would be asked to identify how far out in the future they wish to generate this forecast for. So they can put in either a date or a number of days, and either of those fields will populate the other. And as well, if they care to run the process in the background, they can indicate that by checking the Run Forecast Generation in the Background checkbox, in which case they can also enter an email address for notification that the process is complete. We move to slide 17. Get a look at the actual forecast that's generated. And in this case, we're seeing a circulation fan preventive maintenance routine that basically looks like a 90-day routine. And if you look on the left side of that screenshot, you'll see the forecast dates that are arrived at by the forecasting routine. And it's basically just taking whatever criteria has been provided as part of the PM definition and extending it outward for whatever the forecast window happens to be. As well, you see a definition of the job plan itself that would be carried out at that time. We move to the next slide, that's slide 18. We'll talk about changing the forecast. The key element here is the focus on the new date column. If in the case of what's on the screenshot here, that May 18th forecast date for whatever reason isn't suitable, and the user wants to put in a new date, then they simply click on the new date field corresponding to that forecast date instance, and they put in the date that they want to move it to. Now, there's two different situations that can be addressed here. First is a situation where they just simply want to change that date, and that's all they want to change, and they don't want it to ripple through the rest of the forecast. They just want that single date to change, in which case, they make the change, they save it, and they're done. The business rule limitations that apply in this spot is that they can never specify a new date that either steps on the previous forecast date or on the next forecast date. So they have a window as large as they've defined in terms of the PM frequency in which to identify that new forecast date. Now, the flip side of that is a situation where they may wish to have any change that they define ripple throughout the remainder dates in the forecast. And if that's the case, there's a field that actually isn't in this screenshot that's on the forecast tab that's entitled reforecast subsequent dates. And if that field is checked, then such a change as you see on this forecast, once that change is saved, would take a one-day change and apply it to each forecast date that remains in the forecast. Just one other thing I should mention here, although I don't have a screenshot about it, is that I've been talking a lot about the criteria that is defined in the PM is what defines the forecast dates, of course, but what I also want you to feel comfortable with is that there's all kinds of logic built into the product that accounts for change. So we talked about changing forecast dates, but what if a user goes in and decides they want to change the frequency of the PM? Well, the logic will basically say to the user, hey, wait a second. If you want to change this, you're changing the frequency, you're changing the recipe by which we created the forecast in the first place, so the forecast will therefore be inaccurate. And it notifies the user that if they want to continue with this change, that the forecast will be deleted, and as it should be, because it will be then inaccurate. If they take a 5-day PM and they change it to 10 days, then the forecast is clearly inaccurate and will be deleted. That's where the cron task comes in, because they can either go and manually regenerate the forecast right then and there, or they can just leave it, and the cron task will come along later at whatever frequency they've defined and regenerate that forecast for them. Now, there's a couple of other actions that have been included. Because we talked about how a calendar-based PM is respected, but we also cover all of the other types of PMs as well. So we cover meter-based PMs, a combination of meter and calendar. We cover fixed versus variable interval planning. So are you going to base the next PM date on when the work is due or when the work is done? And all the business logic required to take that into consideration is included in the PM forecasting application. So the point that I'm making here is that there are other pieces that are also included that leverage current capabilities within Maximo in order to maximize the benefit for the user that's using the PM forecasting application. Case in point would be the a meter-based PM, when a forecast is generated for a meter-based PM, then the PM forecasting application will look to the average meter units per day and look to that field, see what those average meter units per day are, and then forecast outward the forecast dates based on that level of usage. Now, for some customers, that usage stays very constant. For others, it changes, and some of them changes significantly. So what we did was we added in some callable actions that could be leveraged by the customer based on their own criteria. For example, a customer could easily set up an escalation to be watching that average meter units per day field for critical assets, and that can be a set or single critical assets, totally up to them. And when they see a corresponding change in that average meter units per day that fits their level of attention, then they'll be able to call that delete action. It'll go and take the forecast, delete that forecast, and then call another one to regenerate that forecast. And what that basically does is it automatically allows the customer to embrace their own fluctuating asset usage in order to have an accurate forecast. Because if you think about it, once that forecast is generated, unless you go and update it based on a new or updated average meter units per day, then that original forecast is currently out of date. So this is just one way in which we've added pieces to allow a customer to leverage current capabilities in Maximo in order to stay on top of the wave. We move to slide 19, titled Defining the PM Forecast and the Schedule. You'll recall from the Tivoli talk for Scheduler 7.1 that the schedule itself has to be defined. Nothing's changed in that regard, and the only thing that must be added is the definition of the PM itself, or the PM aspect of it. So if you go to the next slide, I'll point out the exact differences. Defining the PM forecast in the schedule, we see that the two required elements are you're simply adding to the work order line, you're simply adding an additional line that specifies that it is the PM data source that we're going after or querying, not the work order, and as well, what the definition of that query will be. So it could be bring along all of the PM forecast for a particular area of the plant or a location or an asset class, or it's completely up to the customer. But they can either enter that SQL query directly or utilize the query builder. And again, no changes to Scheduler in that regard from the first release, only that the additional data source is now available to bring along PM forecasts. If we go to slide 21, you'll see that it's that we now have there's two areas of the Gantt view that I wanted to at least first zero in on, and I'll show you the overall view. But in the first part, in the upper segment, what we're seeing are the segments that pertain to two particular PM forecasts. And just as you saw a vertical listing in the PM forecast tab, just as you saw that vertical listing of the forecast dates, what you're seeing here is a timeline view of the same information. So in this case, we have two forecasts. On the upper one, looks like it's forecast for every 2 days, and in the lower one, a different frequency. In the upper one, you'll notice that they're blue in color, and blue indicates that those are the original forecast dates as per the forecast, and they haven't been changed. Whereas the ones in the lower segments, those segments are orange, and those segments have in fact been moved. So they've been dragged and dropped to different dates. So as soon as they get moved, they have changed color. Now, the same business logic that applies in the forecast tab is embraced in the Gantt view for forecasts. So case in point, if that forecast, if the change you wish to apply to just a single date, then or multiple dates, but you want to be able to control which ones that you change, then it's a clear case of the reforecast subsequent dates box not being checked, in which case you can move the dates basically wherever you want, as long as, like I was saying before, as long as you don't step on the one before or the one after. And that still applies. So as you drag and drop, it won't allow you to drag over the next segment or the previous segment. In the case of reforecasting subsequent dates, yes, what happens is that you can take a segment, you can move it more or less anywhere you like, knowing that all of the segments that follow, in this case in the timeline, anything to the right, is going to be adjusted accordingly. What happens is as soon as you start to drag a segment, then no other segments may be moved until the reforecasting process has actually occurred. So the graphically, you'll see things change to you'll see the text change to red on the left-hand side of the Gantt view. Now, in the lower segments or the lower area of this slide, what you're also seeing is the aggregate craft requirement. So any of the forecasted PMs or any of the work orders that are part of this scheduler session, the required crafts will be illustrated below. And I say aggregate because, as you can see from the multiple colors and the multiple discipline indicated below, there's multiple crafts involved. And the same as with the prior version of Scheduler, once you isolate a single craft, you'll be able to gauge availability of that craft against the requirement for that craft on any day. To get the whole picture, let's go to the next slide, slide 22, entitled The Real Value. This is a screenshot that covers the entire Gantt view. And you get an idea of how PM forecasting and the work order task scheduling can be incorporated and viewed all at once. Now let's start zeroing in for a moment on a couple of additional changes. If you go to slide 23, it's an additional features slide. And there's some changes to work orders that that I want to raise. Some of the changes that we've applied to work order zero in on assignment manager capabilities. And what we wanted to be able to do and what we were being requested of from our customers was the ability to carry out many-to-many assignments and also the ability to not have to leave the work order application in order to carry out the assignments. And as well, the ability to take a series of assignments that have already occurred and move them collectively to another date or bulk reschedule. And if you go to the next slide, the assignment tab, required crafts, what you'll see is that the way we've approached this, for those that have been around Maximo for a number of years, if you recall back to Maximo 4, the assignments tab was part of the work order application. And in moving to Maximo 5, we eliminated that, and it is now back due to popular demand. And it fits, too. The idea here is that when a user, planner, scheduler, foreman, come to that assignments tab, they'd be able to see all of the required craft elements as per the plans tab. So any of the craft and the duration that are required would be visible here. If you move to the next slide, the assignment tab available labor, basically the user's gone and indicated that they want to carry out an assignment, and as such, they've They've indicated a single line that they want to deal with, and in this case, it was the electrical first class line, or at least one of them, and the user is presented with a list of available resources within the time constraints that are indicated in the filter boxes above. So they can select whichever person they wish and carry out or complete that assignment right then and there without having to jump from work order tracking to the assignment manager. And then one other enhancement that I touched on a couple slides previous was the bulk reschedule, so that from a list tab, a user or foreman, planner, scheduler will be able to identify work within a list tab that they want to carry out a reschedule, and from that list they can take all of the assignments and do a bulk move to another day or another shift or to other personnel. The next slide, I'll turn it over to Vikkel Banta, who is from product management, and Vikkel will go over the packaging and pricing.
Thank you, Dave. So if you turn to slide 27, titled Pricing and Packaging, one thing I'd like you to notice that Scheduler is available as an add-on for both Maximo Asset Management and Tivoli Asset Management for IT. Now, the key point here for those who might not know this is that customers must have licenses to either Maximo or TAMID in order to get Scheduler. The part number is listed right here. It's DOAYULL. And if you look at the price book, you can find this listed under Maximo Asset Management. The price point for Scheduler is $1,000 American, and that's per authorized user license. Now, it's been specifically priced for power users, which are basically the schedulers and planners. Now, sometimes there are situations where supervisors or technicians might need read-only access to Scheduler, and if you have such a scenario, then we suggest that you discount as appropriate. Let's look at the pricing example on the next slide now. Now, we have a company, Company A, that does preventive maintenance on their assets. So they have about, they have 20 technicians, 3 admins, and they have 3 planners who do all the scheduling, who do all the scheduling efforts. So they have 26 employees in all. So what they will need is they will need to get 26 licenses to Maximo, and at $4,600 per piece, that comes to about $119,600. And then they will need to get 3 scheduler licenses for the 3 planners they have. And that brings the total deal to $122,600 American. So that's just something to clarify how pricing works here. If you turn to the next slide, the sales business value. Now, scheduler is something that clearly differentiates us from our competitors. Now, on the EAM side, we have Oracle, SAP, N4, and the likes. And on the IT side, we have companies like HP, CA, BMC. None of them have the functionality that Scheduler offers. It really is a reason that customers will upgrade to version 7. Last week alone at Pulse, several customers indicated that they will be leveraging Scheduler as part of their business case for upgrading to Maximo 7. And if you have customers who are already on 7, you can drive more revenue from Scheduler, as it's, you know, it's something you can sell back into your install base. Lastly, it's mentioned earlier, it's a differentiator for all new sales. If you think about it, whether it is an IT asset management customer you're working with or an enterprise asset management customer, almost everyone has scheduling and planning requirements, right? So Scheduler really can be promoted with just about any new sale opportunity out there. Before I end, just like to say that, you know, we are all extremely excited about the product. With this new release, we have addressed some additional key customer pain points. And I'm sure you will see its value as a great add-on for you to be able to position and sell. Now, if you have any questions at all, please feel free to get in touch with any of us. My contact information is actually listed on the next slide. So if anything comes up after this call or any other point of time in the future, please feel free to contact me. And that's all we have for you today. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Amy, if you want to open the call for questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Please record your first and last name clearly when prompted. To withdraw the request, you may press star two. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. One moment, please. Cooper, you may ask your question.
Yeah, so it's James Cooper from the UK here. Just a question around the assignment piece that's been added to work orders. That's great to have that back in alongside scheduler. If we had a licensing scenario where, I think my question is that going to be put into the base product or is that part of scheduler? And would people without a scheduler license be able to use that capability?
For now, we don't have a Maximo AAM release, so currently it will be available only as part of scheduler.
Okay.
But there is a plan that when we have the next Maximo release, then it will be part of regular work order application.
Okay, and clearly there's clearly that's seen as a non-licensable. The licenses are for the people using the Gantt interface. Is that correct?
Yeah, the licenses for the Gantt interface. Yeah.
Okay, great. Just another question. You mentioned on assignments the ability to do a bulk move. Could you just elaborate on that?
The bulk move is, if you look at in Scheduler 7.1, the work orders, you can just graphically do a rubber band, select multiple work orders and move it from one date to another date. We have a similar capability now in the work order application where from the list page, you can select more than one work order and then move it to a different date. So for people who don't have, this has been a long request from quite a few customers before, like, if I know, like, there's some emergency work order that came today and I have to push five work orders to a later date, today the only way you can do it is do one work order at a time. So instead, now what we are given is the ability to take a bunch of work orders and then move to a different date from the work order application itself.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Comes from Bill Adamson. Your line is open.
Thank you very much indeed. Yes, my name is Bill Adamson from the UK again. What is the services effort required to install the scheduler on an existing valid base?
Are you on, is it 7115?
Yeah, that is correct, yes.
Yeah, you just need to get the files. It's pretty straightforward. If everything goes well, it should be up and running in an hour. So download the files, you need to do an update DB, you need to get the latest license for scheduler, and then rebuild the EAR files and you'll be all set.
Fine, that's perfect. Thanks so much indeed. Thank you.
Not a problem. And one point, in your client machine you need to have the JVM, the Java Virtual Machine, so
yes.
like workflow. So.
Yeah, for the graphics, yeah, indeed.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. At this time, there are no further questions in queue.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your attention. And once again, feel free to send us an email, or if you have more marketing questions, please feel free to contact Vikul Banta.
Thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.